celebrating our 100th anniversary, and so we need to have a few fireworks, but we also need to be looking to the future. The 100th anniversary is really speaking about what's in the past, and it's really the future that we are looking at. And one of the things I'd like to share with you is the experiences I've had the last 2 years working with a program that's called College in the Schools. And I think it's an opportunity for us as a discipline to present our subject matters at a much earlier time period in the student's educational program. And so what I want to share with you are sort of three purposes: to create an awareness of what concurrent or dual enrollment programs currently exist in the high schools, to share my experiences with our introductory agronomy class, Crops, Environment, and Society, a four-credit course at the university, and then to explore the benefits that are derived from putting introductory crop, plant, animal, soils, what have you, into high school programs. And this is, I think, one of the opportunities of looking to the future that we want to sort of bear in mind. First of all, in terms of concurrent enrollment programs, these are programs where the student is still in high school, but earning college credits. It's called dual enrollment because the credits that they earn count towards their high school graduation requirements, but they are also creating a college transcript. At the present time, all 50 states have some form of dual enrollment programs. There are three different dual enrollment programs around the country. The first and most widely known is the AP program, the Advanced Placement Program. A second one that exists in some states is the Post-Secondary Enrollment Options. And the third is the College in the Schools. And I'll quickly go through a comparison of those to give you a little bit of a flavor of their differences. AP, it's established by the College Board, the same organization that produces the SAT. They identify teachers, and these are identified within the school as AP teachers that teach in the high school. They currently cover some 22 different subject matter areas, but nothing related to agriculture. There is a final standardized high stakes exam at the end of these programs, and the students must score a 3, 4, or 5 to be eligible for college credit. And that whether it counts or not depends upon the college or university. Some will accept either 3s, 4s, or 5s. Others are much more selective and take only the 4s and 5s, and there are fewer that only take 5s as college credit. The students pay a fee of $84 for every exam that they take. The post-secondary enrollment options are at individual state levels. Here the students are taking courses on college campuses. The credit transfers, they get a transcript from that institution, and the credit also counts towards high school graduation. The high school pays for the tuition and the books. High school teachers are not involved with the students in these courses. It's strictly a campus-based involvement. Currently, there are 17 states. The states that seem to have the highest involvement and the highest participation of high schools are Minnesota, Ohio, Iowa, Colorado, and Washington. At least these are the ones that, when surfing and looking for information, show up most frequently. The students that participate in these programs obviously generate an official university transcript and get credit that they can use towards college graduation. And these credits are transferable among most universities and colleges, just as any of our other courses might well be. The College in the School program, or CIS, These students are taking their courses in the high school from their high school teachers. They're involved in all of the affairs of the high school, the intercollegiate, or the student athletics, the clubs, etc. For the high schools, the high school pays $131 per course. Now, this is in Minnesota. Each of the states have somewhat different process. The students take courses from their high school teachers. The high school teachers must go through a four-day, basically about 6 hours a day, orientation to their course that they're going to be teaching. The grades that the students earn in that course appear on the university transcript. These credits are transferable, again, to most colleges and universities. Now, what are the challenges in looking at the CIS programs? First of all, ensuring quality. All courses are official university courses in degree programs. There's nothing that's been developed specifically for the high school. This is courses that are taken by our majors on campus. Each participating department at the university will have a faculty CIS coordinator. So I happen to serve as the agronomy coordinator. The CIS courses are taught as a section of the course that we're teaching on campus. So when we go online and look at the course, we get the same kind of thing electronically, but these courses are being offered in the high school. They're using the same syllabus, the same text that we are on campus. The high school teachers are appointed as teaching specialists in our College of Continuing Education, where the CIS program is housed. The teacher quality attributes that we look at, first of all, those teachers must be have a bachelor's degree. They're not just people who have experience. We want individuals that have some advanced academic coursework, if possible, preference given for people with master's degrees. And the other part is that they need to have had at least 3 years of teaching experience. So it's not going to be someone that's starting off right out of college in their first high school teaching experience that would be invited. There's too much of a learning curve that goes on. Now, the ensuring of the quality is also providing support to these teachers. So each of these high school CIS instructors are provided with a minimum of 21 hours of workshop time by the coordinator. Now, this can be at various times, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but the because most of our teachers are fully engaged during the school year, most of this training goes on during the summer. So this past summer at the ag teachers regional workshop, we had a one-day workshop which was both classroom and field. It happened to be in northern Minnesota, so we went to the regional research center, looked at wild rice, where it gave them a chance to talk with the researcher about wild rice, and talking about the unique anatomy, where wild rice is a monoecious species which has superior females. You can see the anthers below the flower, and from her fingers up is the female part. Many of these people had never seen wild rice, didn't understand it, but it provides a unique kind of experience for them to do some hands-on things, just as we hope they will do in the field. In the classroom portion of what we do, we try to introduce them very quickly to the kind of resources that we provide online available for them, so they'll get a slide set that looks of this type, where leaf types are being presented so that they have picture materials that they can use with their students if they don't have the material available from their classroom resource materials. We try to give the same kind of outline that the students on campus are going to be getting, so that they will be looking at the same materials that we would have on campus. Now, on campus, we grow these materials. The students on campus are really looking at the pots, but what we try to do is encourage them, if they have the resources, to do the same thing. Otherwise, they use the pictorial materials and hard copy materials to demonstrate and to illustrate the concepts that we have. In addition to the workshops, the supporting materials that we've shown, exam questions are shared on the web so that both the instructor and the students have a university ID number, which allows them to get online through the web onto the university server. They can go into WebCT and pull up any of the materials that the students on campus would be pulling up as supplemental materials, and one of the items that they can pull up are old exams, so that the exam questions that are being used are basically the same exam questions that or from a pool of exam questions that would be on campus. As coordinator, I visit the high schools at least once during the term that the courses are being taught for two purposes. One is to create a relationship with the students, to gain some insights to what the resources and materials that they have at the local high school, and actually to present a lecture. The other thing that happens is the reciprocal, and that is that the students come on campus for a field day. We do a couple of things. One, of course, is try to give an overview of the campus and a little bit of familiarity to the campus, so there's a campus tour that takes place. But then I spend about 3 hours going through a lab session. We take a couple of different topic areas, usually doing some of the things that they don't always have equipment for. For example, looking at DNA and extracting DNAs, trying to do some of the things that they might not have equipment to do. The biggest challenge in our program is that the agronomy and animal science courses that were offered a year ago were the first CIS courses that have laboratories on campus. All of the other CIS courses are languages, language arts, social sciences, economics, history. They don't have labs. So how do you deal with that? That has been our big challenge. 50% of the schools that we worked with this last year did have greenhouses. 25% of them had either a school farm, forest, or garden that they could use. And 25% had neither. Well, my percentages, round numbers, we had four schools that were participating. So there are some real other challenges. Scheduling becomes a challenge because the high schools are on all kinds of different schedules. Quarters, semesters, trimesters. The time offering during the day, alternate days, Tuesday, Thursday offerings, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, every day. 45-minute periods, 70-minute periods, 90-minute periods, or block scheduling. As opposed to our university, which is set up with fairly standardized time periods, we have 50-minute or increments of that. But basically, one credit, 15 hours per semester. Labs are 100 minutes, 30 hours per semester. And so for a four-credit course, we're talking about 75 hours of contact time with our students. So how to manage that becomes one of the challenges. The benefits that have been derived, the students get a head start on college. It provides a broad array of students the opportunity to experience college. Clearly, the evidence suggests that it improves the writing skills and problem-solving skills of the students that participate in this course. It develops study habits. The biggest challenge is the amount of reading compared to their regular high school courses. And it provides a seamless transition into college. The students benefit in the participating in a very rigorous post-secondary experience. There is a wide array of courses that are available across the university that they can participate in. And there are a multiple array of assignments that they participate in, rather than the AP, which is the final high-stakes exam. And then there's a transcript that is produced. They, as I said, they already have student enrollment numbers. They're identified. They get a transcript that they can use throughout all of their college program. For the parents, the biggest benefit is cost. As I mentioned earlier, the CIS courses cost $131, campus $1,200. Benefit to the instructors, there is this direct, ongoing, continuing education relationship with university faculty in the disciplines. It raises the bar in the high schools. Those students in these CIS courses are talking a different language. It affects other students. And it supports a strong post-secondary, secondary relationship. Our faculty get involved with these high school teachers. They become bases of referral to our programs. And it is an opportunity to engage the sciences of agriculture at the high school level in a different way. And so, from a grade distribution comparison standpoint, comparing the on-campus with the off-campus students in the CIS, T-test among this data, no significant difference. The high school's teachers were being as vigorous in their assessment as were the campus-based. The other advantages, 11% of the students that went through the CIS program graduated early, less than 4 years. Most of them saved about a semester. The CIS course student participants, 40% of them did double majors or double minors. And 25% of them enrolled at the university, as opposed to about 15% of those that did not participate in CIS. So the benefits are there. It's our opportunity for us to recruit students into our profession, to create more science and more science literacy. And it provides us with perhaps a vision of what might be for the future. Hopefully there's a CIS program in your future. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.